Let us bow our heads. Lord, as we gather here this fine Easter morning, see the little buds pressing their way out, the bees flying in and getting their potion, the birds singing like their hearts would burst with joy because there is an Easter. We believe that you raised up Jesus from the dead many years ago today, and we celebrate this Memorial Day. And let there come an Easter among us all today. May we as his servants understand his word that we were in his fellowship then, and that now that we are risen with him and sitting together in heavenly places, bless the service here in the tabernacle and across the lands where it goes by this telephone. Heal all the sick and the afflicted. May it be an Easter for them also, and an exodus from sickness unto strength. And those who are dead in sin and trespass, may they live today through Christ.
Amen.
And we'll praise thee, for we ask it in his name. Amen. I certainly deem this a marvelous privilege this morning to be back here in Jeffersonville, Indiana, with this great congregation, the church packed and standing in the round and outside and in the lots and everywhere to you people on the phones across the nation. It's a beautiful morning here. 5 o'clock this morning, my little friend with a red breast flew up at the window and woke me up. Seemed like his little heart would burst, and he is risen. I've always thought of this little bird as being a friend to me because I like him. As the legend about him says, a little brown bird saw him suffering on the cross where sin had placed him. Of course, the little bird had no sin. He didn't have to die for the little bird. But he flew into the cross and tried to pull the nails out with his little beak, and he got his breast all red. And that's the way I want mine, too, as this shield of trying to protect this glorious thing that he died for. Realizing that our time is limited here, especially for those friends who are listening in by this telephone, I would like to call your attention this morning to a picture that some time ago was taken by the camera of a vision that I had here at the tabernacle of leaving Indiana to Arizona, where I was to meet in the form of a pyramid seven angels, not knowing what would happen later when I got there, thinking it was the end of my life, but no one could stand the blast, and I'm sure all of you are acquainted with the story. And then in Sabinia Canyon, one morning like this, while in prayer, there had been a sword placed in my hand and said, "This is the word." And the sword of the word. Later, the angels appeared, as was prophesied. And at the same time, a great cluster of light left where I was standing and moved 30 miles high in the air and around the circle like the wings of the angels, and drawed into the skies the shape of a pyramid in the same constellation of angels that appeared. Science took the picture all the way from Mexico as it moved from northern Arizona, where the Holy Spirit said I would be standing 40 miles northeast of Tucson. And it went into the air, and Life magazine packed the pictures, a mystic something way in the spheres where there can be no moisture, where there can be no evaporations of anything, 30 miles high and 27 miles across. And coming right up from where those angels were. Now they asked to know science. One of them at Tucson wanted to know any significance, but I didn't tell them. You all knew it told beforehand. But it wasn't for them. It was for you. And so there he spoke to me and said, the seven seals will be open. The seven mysteries, sevenfold mystery of the Bible that's been closed up since the foundation of the world will be revealed. And we, yet a humble little group compared with all the world, we've enjoyed these blessings. Hearing those mysteries, marriage, divorce, serpent seeds, all these different questions has been completely revealed to us, not by man, but by God himself. Has opened those seven mysteries of what the church was, how it was in Christ at the beginning, and how it would be revealed in the last day. And now, as this went up, we have the picture outside on the plaque. But then, I have the picture laying present here. If you notice, as Life magazine had it. But I wonder if my audience visible here has ever really looked at the picture. See? And the way it should be. You remember, I was preaching when this vision came upon the subject of the book of the Revelations, where the old judges, where we seen Jesus in Revelations 1 when we started to open the seven seals of the church ages, rather, just prior to the opening of the seven seals, Christ was standing with hair like wool, white. And I described that to you, that the old English judges and judges of long ago, when they went to the bench to be sworn in, their supreme authority was given them. They wore a white wig, as it was, over their heads to show their supreme authority. Well, if you'll turn the picture like this and look, you can probably see it from the audience. It's Christ. See his eyes looking here just as perfect as they could be, wearing the white wig of supreme deity and judge of all heavens and earth. Can you see his eyes, nose, his mouth? Just turn the picture from this way they had it, this way, the way it's supposed to be. And can you see it? He is supreme judge. There's none other but him. And that is a perfect identification, again, a vindication of this message is the truth. It is true. And making him not a third person, but the only person with the white, see the dark, his face, his beard, his eyes, and notice he's looking, from him comes this light shining on the right-hand side to which he's looking to, and on the cross, that's where he looked, to the right, where he pardoned the sinner. And the light of his resurrection, we still go forth in his name. I wish this morning that I had just much time to stand upon these phenomena that's beyond any shadow of doubt been proven for the past 30 years or 35 years right here at this church, and that's down on the river when that same light came down here in Jeffersonville in 1933 and spoke those words as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. Your message will forerun the second. We're at the end time. And we see it. We wonder sometimes why it hasn't spread over the earth. Maybe sometime we'll have a chance to explain that, if God willing. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles, as we always believe that the Word must come first of the reading of the Word. I always read that because if my words is the word of a man, it will fail, but the Word of God can never fail. Now, we're going to read from the Holy Scriptures a text, and we want you to turn first to three places in the Bible that have chosen to read from. One of them is in Revelation, the first chapter, and the 17th and 18th verse. This is where he appeared with his hair white as wool, and his feet was like brass. And then I want you also to get in your Bibles, Romans 8:11. I've chosen this morning three places to read from the Holy Scriptures for my message today that the Lord has placed upon my heart for the resurrection. And then I want you to also, Mark 16:1-2. There I will draw my context. Now, in Revelation 1:18, we read these words, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 11th verse, we read this. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And now in Mark, the 16th chapter, the chapter of the resurrection, the 16th chapter, the first and second verses. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the mother, and Mary the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Now, my text this morning, I want to take for a text. It is the rising of the sun. And for a subject, I want to use the quickening power. Now, you know, you perhaps have been hearing the radio and the different ministers speak, and our noble brother Neville this morning speaking his Easter subject on the resurrection. And I thought maybe I would take it a little different path. Not to be different, but just to add a little more. Maybe in another angle. Or the Scriptures, every angle you go with the Scriptures, it always declares Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You cannot get away from it any way. It always declares him. Now, as the world today in a memorial service, or at least in the United States in this side of the earth this morning, in the churches and throughout, is celebrating a memorial of the greatest triumph that man ever had. I think as Savior when he died, or as an infant when he was born, he could not have been here less being coming into the earth. And when he died, certainly he atoned for our sins. But yet there's been many fine little babies born. And there's been many men who have suffered and died for a real cause. But there never was one that could raise yourself up again until this day. Now that it is the greatest week in history, the greatest celebration of all times, this Easter is where he proved what he had said. Man can say things, but yet it isn't exactly can be believed upon thoroughly until it's been proved to be the truth. And it's God who said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. He would not tell you to do something that he would not do himself. So he proved who this was that died for our sins. And now not only is it a memorial day of all these great Easter flowers and Easter bonnets and pink rabbits and so forth that we've got into, and holy celebrations, which is all right, but this is not the real thing. And that way, as people today are trying to say we should wash feet once a year on Thursday, and on Friday we should take the communion, and all different doctrines, of, they argue about whether it should be this day or that day, or whether it should be a Sabbath day or the first day of the week, or all these things are just merely tradition. What good would any of it do you, whether you had Lent or not Lent, if there's no life in you? It's only a memorial, which is nothing against it, but they have certainly carried out their traditions, but left off the main thing. Amen. Satan doesn't care how religious you are or how right you are in your doctrine if you miss that life. You won't come up anyhow. No matter how religious, how good, how many churches you belong to or will belong to, it doesn't matter one thing unless you have been born again. Therefore, if God raised up Jesus from the dead, did he raise him up for a memorial? And is this resurrection morning only a one day in the year or a certain day that we celebrate this? Or are we benefactors of his resurrection?
Amen.
What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you now? We believe by faith that he raised from the dead. But what has that got to do with me? That was 2,000 years ago. Now to find this text, as I was tired, my arm hurting me from shots that the nurse gave me for leave overseas now, as you know, in a few days. And I'm just had these shots, son and I. And with cholera, yellow fever, and everything, I was pretty weary, making me sick, which Caesar requires to have these shots before you go into the other nation. And he said, give Caesar that which is Caesar. But then give God that which is God. And as I was sitting there wondering, what would I speak to this waiting audience this morning, which I'm very thankful for, and men and women who would lay their life on the line for what you would say. How should I do it? What should I take for a text? And then while I was sitting there, almost asleep, my door rattled out on the front side of the house. Nobody being there but myself, as far as I knew. I listened, I didn't get it just right. After a while, the den room door where I have turned into my study, it rattled. And someone kept shaking the door. And I went to the door and opened the door. And to my surprise, a pretty little yellow-haired, blue-eyed girl stood there, looked like a little Easter flower, sitting here looking at me now. She handed me a card. And it was the, of course, I guess when I get home, there'll be Easter cards and so forth, but the only one being leaving home that I'd received. And she said, "Brother Branham, this is from Daddy and me." She wanted to be sure that me was in it. And her arthritic father, sitting in a wheelchair, had sent this card. When I took it and thanked the little darling as she turned and walked away from the door, I opened up the card, and in the form of this card, I drew my text. For on the card was the Saint Mark 16, 1 and 2. Sun up. The sun was rising. Then I thought of that, and then the subject of the quickening of Jesus Christ to be raised up from the dead, I drew my subject. Now, the sun, at the rising of the sun, well, there was a time when the world was laying in utter darkness. It was without form, and it was void, and it was all covered with water, and was laying there in the dark, dismal, gloomy atmosphere. And the Spirit of God moved upon that water and said, "Let there be light." God had a reason to do that. For down beneath that water, there were seeds that He had planted. And it had to have that sunlight to make it live. And the first light was ever given in the earth was God's spoken word. The first light that ever struck the earth was God's spoken word. He said, "Let there be light." Amen. And there was light that turned darkness into light in order to bring forth a creation of joy and life upon the earth. Then the Spirit of God, as it moved with love and compassion at that great day, the first day of the dawn of creation upon the earth, the sun rose and swept across its rays and dried up the waters from the earth and made an atmosphere above. And for its first time, it was to bring joy and life to the earth by a seed. That was a great hour. But oh, it wasn't nothing, that sunrise, like the sunrise on that Easter morning. This time, with the sun leaping into the skies, it brought forth a greater sunrise than ever, because it came greater news with this sunrise than it did with the sunrise at the beginning. This sunrise brought a news that He is risen. He is quickened from the dead, as He's promised. He's risen from the dead. The first time the sun rose in Genesis, it was bringing a message that there will be life upon the earth, mortal life. But this time, when the sun rose, there was a dual sunrising, another sunrising. It was a not only S-U-N rising, it was a S-O-N had risen. Amen. To bring eternal life to all God's promised seed that by foreknowledge He had seen laying upon the earth. No more could the botany life live back there at the beginning without the S-U-N to bring it to life, no more than today when sons of God is up on the earth, it takes a S-O-N life to bring them to eternal life. His chosen ones that He knew before the foundation of the world, He had chosen them in Himself before the foundation of the world, and on Easter morning, then in this dirt somewhere, laid our bodies at that time. For we are the dust of the earth. And in heaven there was a book of memory, and His attributes was in Him, knowing that because this Son of God raised, it would also raise to life every son that was foreordained to this great time. He knew it would be. And what a more glorious sunrise that was than it was at the beginning, at time when it first dawned. Now on this great breaking of the Easter seal, now today we have a tuberculosis Easter seal. People send a message one to the other, and to support this great fund or drive for the doctors and medical science to work upon something to retire or to help the tuberculosis, they are sealed, what we call an Easter seal, when we send message one to another. But when we receive the message, that seal is broken, because the seal is what's got a message bound on the inside. And now, the true Easter seal on this sunrise was broken, and the secret of life after death was revealed.
Amen.
Before that time, we didn't know. The world groped in darkness, groped around. Man's suspicion, theories was among man's heart, tradition made up. Man worshiped idols, they worshiped the sun, they worshiped all kinds of gods, and all kinds of people that made claims. They all went into the grave and they stayed in the grave. But the real seal had been broken. And one who once lived as we live, died as we will die, was risen from the dead. What a morning! Never one like it in all the history of the world. The secret was made known that He was both resurrection and the life. And He said when He come forth on that morning, because I live, you live also. Not only was He the beneficiary of the resurrection, but all those seed that was resting in God's great promise was a benefactor of that resurrection to life, because He said, because I live,
amen,
ye shall live also. That was the breaking of the seal. Because He was brought up, so will everyone that's in Christ be brought up with Him. At this glorious sunrise, God had proven or vindicated His word. All the glooms and doubts that have moved in people's minds was taken away, because here was He who once lived, eat, drink, and fellowship with mankind, that said, I have power to lay my life down, I have power to raise it up again. And now, not only had He made the statement, but He proved it to be the truth. Oh, what a glorious thing that is. I'm sure this morning that even we who believe it cannot comprehend what a great thing that was. Because He raised from the dead, we also have already raised from the dead, for we were in Him. Notice, now, as the gloom covered the earth and the seeds could not live without the S-U in to rise, and gloom had covered the earth, and now the S-O-N was risen, and all gloom was vanished by this light as it spread across the nations to the people, that He is not here, but He has risen. What a statement. He had proved His word. He had proved it to be true. For He had now conquered death, hell, and the grave. The trinity of the devil. Death, hell, and the grave. For Satan is the author of death. He is the possessor of hell and also the grave. And that was the trinity of Satan being caused by one thing, that was death. Death, you go up the grave, and being a sinner, you go to hell. All the very one thing, the trinity of Satan, which was death, that had held man in captivity all these years. But now, the true trinity of God, being one, manifested in Christ, who was life, and it broke the seals and conquered the enemy and rose up the one true and living God. I am he that was dead, and I'm alive forevermore, has the keys of death and hell. God in one made man and dwelt among us and conquered every enemy. And it proved that the trinity of Satan was conquered, and that the trinity of God was made known, because only God alone had power to bring life back again. He was that Emmanuel. God had been manifested in the flesh. No wonder he could claim there, Matthew the 27th chapter, all powers in heaven and earth is given into my hands. I send you to be my witnesses to all the world. He had conquered both death, hell, and the grave. Not only did he do that and come out triumph with all the power in heavens and earth, all that was the Father, all that was the Holy Ghost, and all that there ever was in him. All powers in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Everything else is powerless. He had conquered it. Now, and then not only that, he sent word to his disciples, his believing, fear not, for I am he that was dead and is alive again forevermore. I have the keys to death and hell. I've already conquered it. Don't fear anymore, for every foreordained, predestinated seed of God shall come to life when that light spreads across the earth of the glorious gospel in every age. It'll bring forth the crop that God ordained it to do. He is raised from the dead. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. I am alive, or quickened. The word means, the word quickened, the Greek word means that something that's made alive after death. Like the seed that goes into the earth. It has to die every bit of the seed. It has to rot every bit of the seed. And every bit of the life that was in the seed has to come forth again. He was quickened. Not only that, and will send the same life that quickened me, the power that brought me from the grave, I will send it upon you to quicken you, that where I am, there ye will be also. In Luke 24, chapter 49, verse, he said, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye, or wait ye, in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. To show that not only did he draw all the benefits out of it, but he shared those benefits. He come to redeem or to bring to life those predestinated seed that God seen before the foundation of the world and put their names in the book of life. And here they are on the earth without a hope. He came not only to be the blessing, but to share the blessing with every predestinated seed. Now, if the seed wasn't on the earth, it could not live. It had to be on the earth and also germinize. No matter how long it's kept in darkness, it'll come forth when the S-O-N shines upon it. Notice, now, He come to share it with us. No wonder the gospel is good news. The very word gospel means the good news. The good news what? If a man died for our sake, that's good news. If Christ was born, that's good news. But never a news. Never was there news like this news, that he who made the promise has confirmed the promise. And he's alive forevermore. And has the keys of both death and hell in his hands. All the gloom was shook away. There was no more gloom to be seen, for the sun was up from the grave. There was no, he will come or he may come. He had already come. The gospel, good news. Notice the very message of the gospel itself is to prove to the people that he is risen. Go tell my disciples that I am risen from the dead, and I'll meet with them to confirm this to them. Oh God, how in this last days there shall be light again across the earth. I'll prove to my disciples, go tell them that I am not dead and I'm not a tradition, but I am a living Christ. I'll meet them. Take this message to my disciples that I'm risen from the dead. The gospel, good news, you say, is that right? Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We as beneficiaries are to prove his life is in us now. The beneficiaries of this life. The life, it never was a life lived like it. He was the Son of God. And he died, and that shut it out. But when he raised again from the dead on Easter morning, then we as his servants are commissioned by him to go into all the world and to bring this good news to every person that he is a living. And how can we do it? By word only. For it is written, the gospel came not by word only, but through the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to prove that he is alive. Now, if there is another gospel, as Paul spoke to one of the groups, I am so surprised that you turn to another gospel, which there is no other, but a make-belief gospel, to a denominational fiction, turning from that good news. And because I live, ye live also, and I live in you. And the works that I do, John 14:12, the works that I do will identify myself in you. What a message. No wonder we've had a dark world of theology. But in the evening time there shall come light again. There will be a resurrection in the evening time. It shall be light at the evening time. Now, the very essence of the message that was sent, that he is risen from the dead. We his beneficiaries, we who share the resurrection with him, draw benefits from this by proving to the world that he is alive. We cannot do it by word only. We cannot do it for some tradition of man. We only reflect exactly what we're pointing to. I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church, to a theory. But we must get them to Christ. He is the only one and the only one that has life. Amen. He that has the Son has life. And if the life of a man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life he lives. If the blood of a man was a certain type, and you took the blood from one man and changed the blood of one man into another, he'd absolutely be that type's blood. And if your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead, and you are anointed with the life that was in Christ is upon you, Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll also quicken your mortal body. That same life, them same powers, them same beneficiaries,
yes,
that he had here on earth from God, he redeemed you, a seed that was foreknown by God, whose name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, and that gospel light of the resurrection, the confirmation of the word. How did we know he was a Christ? Because he proved what he talked about. How do I know the message of the hour? God proves what he promised and he talks about. That is the identification that we are beneficiaries with him in the resurrection. He proves what he's talked about. What he promised to do in Christ, he proved it on the resurrection. What he promised to do in the days of Moses, he proved it. What he promised in the days of Enoch, he proved it. In all the days of the apostles, he proved it. Now in this day, he proves what he said, because they are a part of that seed that was represented on the Book of Life that he came to redeem back to God again. Oh, what a message. On Easter morning, not only did he raise, but his beneficiaries raised with him. They were in Christ at his crucifixion. They were in him at his resurrection. We are his beneficiaries. Quickened after being dead in darkness, the darkened world of unbelief, where churches and denominations and so forth had drawn us out, and there's something in us calling, oh, we want God, we're hungry and thirsty for God. We joined the Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterians. What more? Still, there was something wrong. We just couldn't find it yet. And all of a sudden, while we was groping in darkness, the great resurrection came to us in the manifestation of the promised Word of God, like he was the manifestation of the promised Word of God. I will not be my soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He manifested it, every word of God that was promised to him. He proved it when he raised on the Easter morning. Now, them who were once groping in darkness and wandering around if they should wash feet on this day, or if they should keep a certain day or do a certain set of rules, all those things passed away. For that was a glorious resurrection that defied every man-made thing that man had ever done. Every man-made reason. There had never been to that time a man that could lay his life down and pick it up again. He defied that scientific proof they had by raising again. When they say that Jesus Christ isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever, that his power isn't the same, that his gospel isn't the same, when the Bible says it's the same, God defied every denomination, every creed, and he moved forth with his Holy Spirit as he promised and proved it to us, that he is alive. We are the benefactors of his resurrection. Quickened after being dead in the world in sin and trespasses, he has quickened us together with him, raised with him, now sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. His Spirit brings his same life again on the earth. If the Spirit of God that raised up Christ, the body, the anointed body, if the Spirit of God anointed that body in such a way that when that seed fell into the earth, he just wouldn't let him rest there. No, no. He quickened him and raised him up. That same Spirit, by the same works, by the same power, by the same signs being you, he'll also raise you up. I'd like to read a little scripture here for you. I'd like for you to turn to another scripture. I got wrote down here. It might help you a little. It's found in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, the 9th to the 11th verse. Listen close. In the law, the Levitical law, God speaking to Moses. Listen. All these things are types now. And we'll stop here for a few moments to get into this type. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, unto the place of position that I have given unto you, now you speak to the children of Israel, that when you get to this certain place that I promised you, I take you. When you get there in this land, now speaking natural here, type in the spiritual, and shall reap the harvest thereof, you have received what I told you, thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. If there would be any holy ritual, it should come forth on the Sabbath day, which was the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. But did you notice in this memorial to wave it on the first day of the week? The sheaf, which was the first of your seed that you planted. When it comes up and ripens, you cut down this sheaf and take it to the priest and let him take it and wave it before the Lord for your exception, that you are accepted. You have come with your sheaf, and he's to wave it before the Lord on, not on the Sabbath, the seventh day, but on the first day, which we call Sunday. S-U-N-D-A-Y. Of course, that's a Roman word, which they called it the Sunday for the sun god. But how it is changed is not S-U-N anymore. It's the S-O-N-D-A-Y, the Sunday. That carnal wheat, God's first one up from the dead, is to be waved over the congregation. That we are his seed. And that's the first of the seed of those that slept. Waved upon the first day of the week, on Sunday, he raised up, waved goodbye, and ascended up on high in the presence of the people. Notice, it was the first corn of God's wheat that had been raised from the dead. God's first corn of wheat. By God's quickening power, God had quickened his life, raised him up from the dead, and he was the first fruit of those that slept. The first fruit. He was that sheep. That's why they had to wave that sheep. For it was the first one that come to maturity. And it was waved as a memorial of thanksgiving to God, believing that the rest of them would come. It was a sign. And today, because he was the first son of God to come to full maturity to be in God, he was plucked up from the earth and is waved over the people. Amen. Oh, what a glorious lesson. By the quickening power, the first one, although he'd been typed in many times, and we'll see later, that he was typed, but this is really the first fruits of them that slept. He was waved over the promised seed that had promise of life. He was waved at the day of Pentecost when there came a sound from heaven like a waving, mighty, rushing wind and was waved over the people. The Pentecostal people that was up at Pentecost waiting for the blessing to come. and to be waved again, we realize, in the last days, according to Luke 17:30, in the Sunday again, in the days that the S-O-N of man will be revealed or waved again over the people. Now, who is the Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And of all the teaching that we have in confirmation of the Word of God, by Word of God, by signs, by wonders, we see today that in the book of Luke here, as we just quoted from Luke the 17th chapter and the 30th verse, and Malachi 4 in the different scriptures that we are acquainted with, that Word again is waved over the people, that the dead traditions of man is dead and the Son of God is alive. Amen. Again with the baptism of the Holy Spirit right among us and has given us life. As Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, all those types in many places, he was the first fruits of those that slept in the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church. There'll have to be a sheep waved again in the last days. Oh, my. Waving of the sheep. What was the sheep? The first one that come to mature. The first one that proved it was a wheat. That proved it was a sheep. Hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about.
Hallelujah.
It was waved over the people. And the first time there will come forth for the bride age, for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism, will be a message that the full maturity of the Word has turned back again in its full power and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did that. Because I live, ye live also, speaking to his wife. Because I live, ye live also. What a resurrection that was. And what a resurrection this is. To be quickened from the dead, to be made alive in Christ Jesus. By God's quickening power, he was waved to them. The Word, which he was waved back to them on the day of Pentecost, the Word made manifest. Now, and as I say, it's to be waved again in the last days. Now, for instance, you say, well, now, wait a minute, Brother Branham. I know a church that, well, I do too. But now, for instance, what if we were going to go back to Tucson this afternoon? Now, and each one of us was going to go in a big Cadillac, brand new. And all of the seats were made out of doe skin, softest of the leather, soft and easy to sit in. And the floorboards were plush. The steering wheel were nickel-plated and had diamond studs all over it. And the engine was mechanically tested to be exactly the right engine. And the wheels were all had bearings and greased up. And the tires were all puncture-proof and blowout-free. They'd all been tested scientifically. They'd been pushed off the assembly line, both of them. And both of them filled up with gasoline. That's the running power. The gasoline. Because in it is the octane. But now, when you go to start them, although both of them look just alike, but there's one of them don't have any spark. Any firing power. Well, you say the power is in the gasoline, Brother Branham. But I don't care how much power is in the gasoline unless there's a spark there to manifest that power. Unless there's a power there to confirm that that's gasoline, it just might as well be water. Until no matter how much theologians claim, how well you got your church set, how much education you got, how much like the Bible, until that
wave sheaf until the Holy Spirit comes upon that person to quicken that word. The gasoline represents the word, it's the truth. But without the Spirit, it won't move. We put too much stress on the mechanics and nothing on the dynamics. It needs the dynamic power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ upon the church to manifest and to bring to pass that this is gasoline. Might be in a gasoline can. It could still be water. See? But the only proof of it is put the life on it. And it'll prove where it's gasoline or not. And when you try to put the Holy Spirit in a denomination, you're as much as trying, you can get a splutter. You'll ruin your engine by getting it full of carbon. But oh, I'm so glad that there is a 10,000 octane power, the Word of God and the Holy Ghost to light it up and to resurrect the power of God into a man's life or a woman's life or into a church that shoves that Cadillac down the road, yonder, on the dynamic power of the Holy Ghost, which came back and was waved over the people at the day of Pentecost. Making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. There was the first sheep come up from all the prophets, which was the Son of God, the King of all prophets. There's been churches, churches, brides, brides, churches, brides, brides, but there's got to come one. Hallelujah! There has to come a real bride. There must come one that's not only got the mechanics, but the dynamics of it. Makes that church live, move in the power of His resurrection until we come to that place. Until we find that place, what good does it do to polish the hubs? What good does it do to give her a facelift or a Simonized job when there's no dynamics in it? No matter how much the mechanics prove to be right, there's got to be a dynamic to make it work. That's what He proved. Hallelujah. That's what Easter proved. He wasn't only the Word, but He was God Himself, the dynamics in the Word. That made the body of Jesus Christ cold, stiff, and dead in the grave, shaken to life and rise again and roll away the stone. I am He that was dead. So dead till the sun said He was dead, the moon said He was dead, the stars said He was dead, all nature said He was dead. Now the whole world has to recognize that He's alive again. He was not only a mechanic, God's Word, He was a dynamic to prove it. And is He being the groom? The bride has to come forth because it's part of Him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations and the others that spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Because she's flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, life of His life, power of His power. She is Him. As man and woman are one, and woman taken from His side, she had taken His spirit, the feminine spirit coming, the flesh from His side, made both mechanics and dynamics the wife. The spirit of Him and the flesh of Him and put it together and made mechanics and dynamics. And tell the church or the people, all these Easter bunnies and ceremonies and big churches and pineries will fail and pass away until that church becomes both dynamics and mechanics. And the Spirit of God that moved Him to do the things that He did. If He hit on 16 cylinders, so will the bride. Amen. For He said in John 14:12, He that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also. Amen. I'll give him a charge. of my dynamics and his mechanics.
Praise the Lord.
That's a world when I'll be able to withstand it. And I'll raise him up again at the last day.
Hallelujah.
That's the Easter. The dynamics and the mechanics together.
Hallelujah.
The mechanics without the dynamics, no good. Neither is the dynamics without the mechanics.
Amen.
You can scream and shout and jump up and down all you want to and deny this word.
Amen. Amen.
It won't do any good. You're just cranking around the pistons of got sparked out of fire but no gasoline to fire it by.
Amen.
It'll only work as they come together. Amen. So one will sit still and the other will go up. That's the only thing there is to it. Yet they both might look alike, both claim to be churches, both claim to be brides. But one has mechanics and dynamics. It brings it to pass. But what he said is the truth. It just won't. No matter how good the mechanics is, until the dynamics come. When the dynamics come, that bar is made to connect with that octane in the gasoline. And when that explodes, it causes a combustion. And that combustion moves. Every motion, every move. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the resurrection. That's the real power of God. Mechanics with the dynamics. Notice, it's the spirit that quickens. It's the spark that fires. It's not the gas that fires. It's the spark that fires the gas. See, you can do nothing without me. But with me, you can do all things. As he is the word is the Father living, Father sent me, so send I you. As the Father has fired me and pushed me into everything, I do only that which is pleasing to God. Now, as he sent me, so send I you, is the same mechanics. And it takes the same dynamics to operate it. And these signs shall follow them that claim to have the mechanics. The dynamics will take its place. Paul said the gospel came to us not in word only, through gasoline only, but through spark also to make it move. There you are. It came to us in that manner. It's the same Spirit that raised him up that quickened the true believer to eternal life. Now remember, potentially now watch, as we are getting out of our time. Notice, the same Spirit, now Romans 8:1. Now let's just read that again in Romans 8:1, and we'll see what that says. Alright? And not Romans, I mean 8:11, I'm sorry. And Romans 8:11. But if, there's the problem, there's the catch, but if the Spirit of Him, God, the Holy Spirit, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. Oh, there you are. If the bridegroom's Spirit dwells in the bride, when God made his first bride, groom, he made the bridegroom first. And he was both man and woman in spirit. Formed him in the dust of the earth and make him material. And notice, when he made Eve from Adam, he took not another piece of clay, he took from the same piece of clay. The same word. For Adam was the spoken word. See? He took from him and then taken the He had masculine and feminine spirit. And he took the feminine spirit away from Adam and placed it in Eve, so it's still part of Adam's spirit. It's Adam's flesh. Then it was Adam's spirit, the dynamics, that quickened the mechanics of his body. So the bride must also be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Then how is this mortal flesh going to become his flesh? We'll get to it in a minute. How is it done? What is this great transformation? Notice, now if the Spirit of Him, God, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Oh, my. The predestinated one. Of course, like the seed laid up on the earth. The one that had life in them, many of them are dead. They were just rotten seeds. The waters and things burn them out. But you know, there was a seed laying there ready for life. God knowed it was laying there. Now, the predestinated ones are the first to be quickened by the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit comes to claim its own. Now, this is deep now. And be sure to catch this good. Now, as the sun was sent across the earth, not to bring rocks, which are dirt also, to light. It was not to bring all the dirt to light, but was to bring the part of the dirt which was enclosed around a life. Not all men will receive Christ. Oh, no. But those which God foreordained life is housed around some of the dirt of the earth. That's the one that comes to quicken. They're the ones that, now that dirt would lay there in the sun and say, oh, this old sun's so hot. That rock said, this old sun's so hot. But that little seed said, that's what I'm looking for. And it began to spring forth to life. It quickened that part of the dirt. Because the sun was sent not to quicken the rock, not to quicken the dirt, but to quicken the life of the seed. Now the Holy Spirit comes now. Of course, it wasn't sent. Why won't all the people receive it? It wasn't sent to them. God told me, I don't care what you say. If you could raise up the dead or anything and heal the sick and prove it anyway, I still don't believe it. I said, certainly not. You're unbelievers. It don't mean a thing to you. It wasn't even sent to you. It's sent to those who will believe. The message is to the believer. Amen. To them that perish is foolishness. But to them that are in Christ and part of that seed is life. My crude little story about the farmer putting the eagle egg under the heathen. See? That little eagle was absolutely, he was an odd-looking little creature when this farmer had did that thing that he did to put this eagle egg under this old hen. And she hatched out a funny-looking chicken. It was an odd little fellow. He didn't look like him. His feathers wasn't like the rest of him. And he was an odd little guy. And all the rest of the chickens recognized him, an odd fellow. And the hen went around. He didn't even like the diet she was feeding. He just didn't like that scratching in the barnyard. He didn't have nothing to do with that. So he wondered why he had to be the odd one around there, anyhow. See? And he never tasted anything. He just eat enough to keep him alive because he didn't like the taste of it. See? Because he wasn't a chicken to begin with. And the hen would cluck and, you know, oh, days of miracles is past. There is no such a thing. Join the church. No. It just didn't hit right with the little guy. So he followed around the hen until one day his mammy, the old eagle old, she had laid so many eggs. And there was one missing. She knew that that eagle was somewhere. So she starts out on the hunt for him. And she circles over the mountaintops and down in the valleys and over and everywhere where he might be. By this time, it's time for him to be born. It's time for him to be hatched out. So maybe a crow come in and picked up my egg. Maybe a vulture. I don't know if something picked up my egg, but I know that egg is in my mind.
Hallelujah.
I got a son somewhere. I got the honey. So is God. He's that great eagle. In his thoughts, he knew he'd have a church. He knew he'd have a people. No matter what cuddled him, no matter what he's hatched out under, he's hunting. He's hunting for his own. And one day, the story goes, this old eagle flew over the barnyard. She's looking everywhere, and she found him. Oh, for that resurrection. To recognize that he really was a chicken after all. He was an eagle! And he's always taught to look down. Look for a bug or something in the barnyard. But he heard a scream and said, look up this way. And he looked above him, and there was a creature with 14 feet wings. Powerful in all the chickens he was in the barnyard and claimed him to be her son.
He said, Mama, how can it get to you? They just jump and start flopping your wings.
Or you're an eagle. See, she knew she had a son somewhere. No matter what he's been raised up in, she's got a son somewhere. God knows. Hallelujah, he's got a predestinated, foreordained church. You know what? He's got sons and daughters and a bride waiting somewhere. When the Holy Spirit begins to fly over that wave sheet,
he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not some mythical story, but a reality.
No matter how I tried to tell him an eagle, he didn't know what an eagle was. Yet he was an eagle. He would not have understood it until he seen something that reflected him. That he reflected, rather. And when we see not a denomination, not a PhD, not a LLD, not a good neighbor, but a son of God, molded in the image of God with the dynamic power of God to answer the request of this day, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there ain't no hen going to hold you. He hunts for his mama. He's an eagle to begin with. He recognizes, this real eagle recognizes the call of God's word. Why? He's an eagle. An eagle to an eagle. The word, before the foundation of the word, to the word. The word predestinated to the word written for the hour. You realize your position. He hunts for it. This, then this earthly body is quickened and brought by the quickening Spirit of God to obedience to the word of God. Quickly, what do you want to know how to get there with her? He'd been taught he couldn't do that. You can't get no higher than a jump. He's a chicken, see? But this eagle said, that's not so. Well, look at the chickens. No matter what the chickens are, you're eagle. Just start spreading those wings. Get a little exercise in them. Start moving up. The word to the word. The works that I do shall you also. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he also. Because I live, he lives also. And if the Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you, it quickens your mortal body. See? What does it do? Now listen, so that you'll know that this Easter I want it to mean more to you than any Easter ever did. I want you to see it. We know what it's done for him, but I want you to see it not will, it has done the same for you.
Amen.
See? What does it do? It quickens the mortal body. This mortal body that we live in, it quickens it. In other words, brings it to life.
Amen.
Now, you who once walked along with a great big cigar in your mouth and everything, or a bunch of cigarettes, and you women who once had short hair and painted and carried on, wore shorts and things like that, all at once something screamed. And you look down here and it was the Word. See? It quickened your, you said, no more shorts for me. No more liquor for me. No more lying. No more stealing. No more of this. See, the Spirit that raised him from the dead, dwelling in you, will also bring your mortal bodies, the dust of the earth, into subjection. You see, what is it? Subjection to what? Christ. Who's Christ? The Word. Not the theology, but the Word. Then, you say that these things, oh, I think it's all right for women to wear slacks when the Word says no. See, it quickens you to that. See, you're drawn to it. See, it's you then. It becomes, you become part of the Word. It brought your body, not will you say, oh, now let me tell you something. My pastor, I don't care what your pastor said. It's what the Word said. If you want to be a chicken, go on with him. But if the pastor speaks different from this Word, then he's not a feeder of the eagles. He's a feeder of the hens. See, not of the eagles. See, eagle eats on eagles food. See? It quickens. The Bible said it's wrong to do that. And the man and so forth and what all you do, it's wrong to say days of miracles is past. This Bible said he's the same yesterday and forever.
Right.
If they have mental telepathy and it's some kind of mind reading, this discernment and all these visions and things is nonsense, see, they are chickens.
That's right.
They don't know what eagle food is.
Right.
But brother, when you hear that scream, there's something in you, you're eagle to begin with. Why? You are that seed.
Amen.
That the resurrection of the S-O-N has gone in the way
save sheep upon the earth to make you recognize that you are an eagle and not a denominational chicken. You see it? How?
If the spirit that raised him from the dead, the Word, the dynamic of the Word, dwells in you, it also quickens your mortal body. Now, how we flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone? Because quickly, while we're yet mortal sinners, mortal, ready to die, these bodies, it quickens that body. What's quickened? Brings to life. The spirit that once liked to drink, run around, commit adultery, and all these things, it's quickened. While the thing dies, and you're resurrected, it quickens your mortal body. Therefore, your body is the temple of the dynamic. Because why? From the beginning, you are part of the mechanics. Oh. There's your resurrection. There's the church and the resurrection with you. These bodies right now are quickened. See? You've heard. You believe. It changed you. From a denomination to the Word. See? The dynamic, if it comes upon water, it'll splutter. Taste a miracle today. Pum, pum, pum. Oh, I breathe the Bible. Pum, pum, pum. But then they don't, pum, pum, pum. See? But when he hits that 1,000 octane, away she goes, you see. Oh, my. The dynamic strike that. But if it strike a chicken, it won't do no good. But when it strikes the eagle, he moves out. The dynamic with the mechanics. See what I mean? That is, if he is a true eagle now, he will understand